This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
Welcome to the Corlin Economics Report, a weekly look at financial and political topics relating to asset-based investing. Guests on this program pay no fees to appear, and guests and hosts disclose any equity interest in companies' profile. Now, the Corlin Economics Report.
Welcome in. You are listening to the weekend edition of the KE Report, and this is going to be the last weekend edition of 2017. I want to thank everybody, all of our listeners, all of our guests, everyone who has taken time to visit our site and weigh in with their comments. It's great to see the audience that still sticks around with us even when, yes, we are a bit focused on precious metals and hard assets, even when those sectors are relatively sleepy compared to some of the other sectors that we, in all fairness, have even been forced to cover as well. In this segment, to kick off the show, I am joined by a good friend, Jeff Deist. He is the president of the Mises Institute. And Jeff, I haven't had you on the show for a number of months now, so I wanted to get kind of a recap of this year. First of all, focusing on currencies, the U.S. dollar moving down pretty much this whole year. It's been 2017 is the year of the weak dollar. But then on the flip side, kind of relating to hard assets, but, well, something that's distracted everybody, that is the cryptocurrencies. They have, well, taken off this year. Let's get your recap on what we've seen in terms of currencies and cryptocurrencies, please.
Yeah, crazy year, Corey. And we certainly can't attribute the entire rise of cryptocurrencies to a weak dollar. I mean, clearly, they've risen faster than the dollar is falling relative to other assets. And you might account for a lot of the record growth in the equities markets that Trump is talking about as though he engineered this. You know, that growth may as much reflect a weakening dollar as it does productivity gains or new markets or profitability of the underlying companies. But look, it was the year of cryptos. There's no question about it. I have a friend who runs an online trading company, and one of the things he trains people in is Forex trading. And I was talking to him the other day. I said, you know, who wants to talk about trading dollars versus yen or euro versus pounds or anything else when to try to make small gains when crypto seemed to be going up 1,000% every month or something. So, you know, he agreed with this and was in the process of starting a crypto trading platform. But, you know, nobody understands what's happening with cryptocurrencies. Nobody understands exactly where they're going to go. So they remain a highly speculative form of investment, not yet a form of money or currency by any reasonable standard. So they're purely a speculative investment, and I still think that for the average Joe or Jane, as such, they should be a small speculative part of your portfolio. The question becomes, where does that leave people with respect to mining stocks, which have been in the doldrums, which are still undergoing, I would argue, a shakeout of companies that have real value, real physical sites, real research behind them, and those that are undercapitalized and are due for a fall. And there have been some success stories in 2017. They've just been few and far between. So I still like stuff, to use Warren Buffett's term. I like stuff. I like tangible assets, or at least stock that own tangible assets, companies that own tangible assets. I like them far more than I like cryptos in terms of the future. You know, the macro trends aren't changing. There's still a lot of economic uncertainty. There's still a lot of population growth around the world, and those both, I think, bode well for stuff, in which we might term commodities. You know, how you choose those and what you buy takes somebody who's a lot more brilliant than me. But I do think that we're going to see in 2018 a lot of traditional investments suffer, and I think we're going to see a lot of contrary investments flourish. And I would especially, Corey, say this with respect to the so-called FANG stocks, Facebook, Apple, Amazon, Netflix, Google, which have accounted for a huge percentage of the record growth in the S&P and the NASDAQ. you know, I think they're way overvalued. I think they're in trouble for, in terms of their valuation. We see people from the left starting to murmur about Facebook and Amazon in terms of antitrust and in terms of seeing them as sort of like robber baron companies from the 1800s. We see, you know, some turnover in the Alphabet management. Some people have whispered that Schmidt's departure is not based strictly on a restructuring, but based maybe on some personal foibles. You know, Apple has had some unfortunate news in the past few days about how it was purposely slowing down its older devices to try to get you to buy a newer version of the iPhone. You know, I see a lot of dark clouds gathering around the fangs. And as a result, you have to ask yourself, where is all that money going to flow into if it's flowing out of what we would term blue chip stocks today? It could be that cryptos have another crazy rally year. I still would be very cautious with those. But it could also be that stuff in the form of commodities makes a bit of a comeback in 2018. So that's personally where I'm headed and personally where I'm investing.
Okay, so a couple things to consider here. One being that, you know what, some of the commodities actually have been getting a nice buy at the tail end of this year. So money might be starting to get ahead of that move. But again, in terms of the U.S. equity markets, it's been a historically boring, low volatility year. It sounds like you're expecting something very different. Is there anything news-wise, politically-wise, globally that is drawing you to that conclusion?
Well, I think in the United States, 2018 will be a congressional election year, which I think will create a lot of division and dissension in the country. I think it'll be about, for our friends on the left, it'll be about a year of revenge against Trump. But also, as I mentioned earlier, I think the FANG stocks prices are unsustainable. I think the gains in the equities markets are unsustainable. It doesn't take a genius to say that. I think it just takes a prudent or cautious investor to say, I don't think these kinds of new highs are sustainable when they're not necessarily based on any real growth in the underlying companies. And furthermore, someone from an Austrian or libertarian bent would argue that a lot of the gains in the equities market has been based on central banks, on quantitative easing and money that's been flowing into housing markets and equities as opposed to into Main Street mom-and-pop type businesses. And that is at least allegedly coming to an end. Both Janet Yellen and her successor have talked about tapering off and selling down some of the Fed's balance sheet. And that is almost certainly, even though I think that they will stop doing that at the first sign of a recession, short of that, I think that the Fed's unleveraging of its balance sheet is going to be deflationary with respect to equities prices. I think it's going to crash the party a bit, and I think Wall Street will view a tightening Fed as sort of a flashing hazard light.
Hey, it is reasonable, I think, to assume that when the Fed goes the opposite direction from their quantitative easing and extremely low interest rates, which drove the markets up, you would think that the opposite policy should wind the markets back. But again, just looking at the Fed, I think we need to look globally at the ECB, at the Bank of Japan, and understand that they were printing money very aggressively throughout 2017. What is your outlook for their policies as we move into 2018, considering, you know what, they are at least murmuring that they want to wind down some of this easy money?
Well, it's interesting, Corey. It really is time to see whether they were telling the truth. Back in 2010, 2011, when both the Fed and the ECB radically increased their balance sheet and bought debt in response to the 2008-2009 crash in order to prop up the economy. They always promised all along that this was a period of extraordinary monetary policy that will someday be unwound. And by extraordinary, I mean in the ECB, they even ventured into negative interest rates, much less zero interest rates. So now we're going to see if they can actually unwind it.
Hey, I hear you there, Jeff, but it's going to be interesting to see what comes into the picture in 2018 because we do have central banks going the opposite direction. Jeff, what can I say other than I hope you have a great new year, and I thank you for taking some time, and I look forward to chatting with you in 2018.
Al Corlin's firm, A.D. Corlin & Associates Incorporated, provides consulting services to public companies on matters of regulatory compliance. To find out more, follow the link from www.kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back after this brief timeout.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
You've seen crazy diets to lose weight? At GCN Team, our healthy body weight loss system simply neutrifies the body, bringing down cravings. It has been proven that nutritional deficiencies drive appetite for carbs, sugars, and fats. Lose weight the easy way. Find us at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Fighting cravings is a fool's game. Give the body what it needs to be satisfied. Again, 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
Non-attorney paid spokesperson. Could your house go into foreclosure? Are you behind on your mortgage payments? Does it seem like the bank has no interest in helping you save your home? And you feel like you have nowhere to turn for help? Then we have good news for you. Foreclosure Protection Services can help save your home as they specialize in foreclosure assistance. That's all they do. If you're behind on your mortgage payments, being threatened with foreclosure, have been denied a loan modification, or been the victim of a predatory loan, it's critical that you call Foreclosure Protection Services now at 800-667-9035. Their network of attorneys and their agents are available to speak to you now. If you're behind on your mortgage payments, Foreclosure Protection Services can help stop the foreclosure process. Call today before it's too late. New laws are in effect and may save your home. Call Foreclosure Protection Services now at 800-667-9035. 800-667-9035. That's 800-667-9035.
If you or someone you care about loves outdoor adventure, then check out slingbow.com for some unique holiday gift ideas. That's slingbow.com, where we have some innovative new products for the archer, hunter, or bow fishing enthusiast in your family. Now through January, use the promo code HOLIDAY to get free shipping in the U.S. or Canada. And from all of us at Slingbow Industries, have a safe, joyous, and peaceful holiday season.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
People search the internet for everything, including you. With a few clicks, information from your past can be quickly discovered. From business deals gone wrong, to misleading reviews, negative articles, and unflattering images. Studies show 78% of people search for someone online before doing business with them. Will they find the real you? With ReputationDefender.com, you can establish a positive internet presence. ReputationDefender.com pioneered the field with over a decade of experience, serving thousands of successful individuals and businesses. We use patented, award-winning systems to boost positive content and suppress negative material. Don't let the internet define you. Take control of your reputation today with ReputationDefender.com. For your quick, free reputation analysis, call 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771, 800-831-0771, or visit ReputationDefender.com.
Many medicines used to treat colds and flu contain acetaminophen, a pain reliever and fever reducer found in hundreds of over-the-counter and prescription medicines. But taking too much or more than one medication containing acetaminophen per day can damage your liver. So always read the label and don't take acetaminophen if you drink three or more alcoholic drinks every day. To learn more, visit fda.gov/OTC pain info. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services Food and Drug Administration.
Your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Welcome back. Continuing to listen to the first hour of this weekend edition. In this segment, I'm joined by Chris Temple, somebody who I chat with on a daily basis for the most part. talking about a wide range of markets. And Chris, what we're going to do is, again, continue on with our predictions for next year. Last weekend, you and I talked about interest rates and central bank policy. This week, we're going to step a little bit out of the realm of talking individual markets and talk about the potential of geopolitical hotspots and black swan events in 2018. What are your thoughts in terms of, let's first focus on geopolitical hotspots?
Well, I'll tell you, Corey, I have often likened the stock market and its refusal to go down when bad news comes out from time to time as like Chuck Wepner. And a lot of our listeners who are my age or older and were boxing fans back in the last real glory segment of the heavyweight division, at least back in the 70s, they remember Chuck Wepner as actually the inspiration for a young writer sitting ringside when he fought Muhammad Ali, that writer being Sylvester Stallone. And Wepner just would not go down under the onslaught of a much better champion in the form of Ali. He even knocked Ali down once in that fight. And so from time to time, when I talk about how resilient the stock market is, despite many reasons it shouldn't be, I'll often call it the Wepner rally. We've had a Wepner year in 2017 when the markets forgave Trump for all kinds of gaffes and not getting much done until the last minute, etc. So you can't make plans aggressively believing that something bad is going to happen, but you always have to look over your shoulder and wonder when is the 15th round going to come, when even a valiant Wepner, or in this case a valiant stock market, might finally have to stop, might finally get knocked out, or as in the case of that particular fight, the referee stops the fight. What might happen? Domestically, all eyes still are going to be on the Trump administration and not only his agenda, if he's going to get any momentum now based on the recent passage of the tax bill, but what's going to happen as far as the Mueller investigation. And more so, and I talk about that in my issue going out this weekend that kind of helps to wrap up 2017, further sets the table for 2018. What is going to happen on trade? Because for all of the talk and whatnot about a trade war and mercantilism and so forth that we had this year, very little, relatively speaking, has actually been done. But especially in the president's recent security narrative that he gave, which to me was very chilling. I know a lot of people who are just knee-jerk, rah-rah Republicans, and the Republican Party can do no wrong, think it was wonderful, but it scares the hell out of me. And one of the many reasons it does is because you have a president that still seems, with the backing of the deep state in Washington, to want to either declare military or a trade war on much of the world. And that, to me, is going to be a major thing to look at as we go ahead that could very easily upset what is otherwise a very nice global Goldilocks narrative of this synchronized global expansion. So we could pull the rug out from under that. That would be the biggest domestic thing, at least, that I'm looking at.
Okay, Chris, let's look at Europe right now. Do you see any issues with Brexit continuing to go through or anything else coming out of maybe left field in Europe? Because, hey, in all fairness, we have talked at length about how worrisome Europe can be, but in 2017, those worries, for the most part, kind of came off the table.
They did to a great extent, but also, Corey, they have kind of morphed from being worries of countries that are tired of the euro and the euro regimen to now it's more of a cultural thing. You've got countries like Hungary and Poland, to a lesser extent Italy, that have had enough of the multiculturalism that's been forced down their throat, the gutting of institutions, the gutting of the traditional Christian Western European culture. And there are still hot spots. You've got the recent vote in Catalonia, that part of Spain wanting still to secede. That's a work in progress. You've got an upcoming election in Italy, I think by the end of February, where it's looking increasingly likely as though a Eurosceptic party is going to take power in Italy, a country which not just coincidentally, it's got the biggest banking mess in Europe, and which is one of the reasons why they want to break away to clean up the mess themselves rather than continue to be almost a zombie banking system propped up by the European Central Bank. And you've got threats now by the European Union against countries like Hungary and Poland because they're so politically incorrect in trying to stand up for Christian Western European culture. So it's taking on a new form. And it doesn't mean that there's as likely in 2018 to be an event that's really going to cause a crisis like you had of confidence in the euro like we had in 2010 and 11. But that's one of the things you always have to have in the back of your mind and need to keep an eye on, along with the other, you know, major geopolitical event of another part of the world being, of course, China, and whether it is going to achieve the soft landing it is increasingly trying to achieve, or whether something is going to go wrong there.
Yeah, it has been interesting to see some better data come out of China, but again, talk about a country that continues to just print money and, well, paper over a lot of their issues. What about North Korea? That was all over the news this year, rightfully so, but again, we didn't see anything major happen there. Are you worried about North Korea in 2018?
Well, I can't compromise one of my sources, so I'm not going to say anything, but there is essentially, I've been told, a 40% or greater chance that there will be conflict directly involving North Korea in the next year. It's already been reported, actually it was quite a few weeks back, that a third carrier group has been sent to that part of the world. There have been some very deliberate steps taken in places like Guam to gird for war. And if you know where to look to find things like this, and a couple of people I talked to do, there are very deliberate steps being taken by the military to be ready for a war.
Okay, well, that is kind of worrisome, but again, I don't know, North Korea has been such an issue. Maybe something does need to be done there. We don't want to get too much into that aspect. As a final comment, though, as I mentioned there, Chris, what about Black Swan events? We've kind of touched on some of them, but is there anything that could just come out of left field this year or next year that you're considering?
Well, beyond those things and a lot of others, and I go into many, many details on that in my current issue. If anyone is not a current member, wants a free copy to take a look, just shoot me an email. But generally speaking, because of the very nature of our economic system and the whole fractional reserve foundation of it, we are never more. I don't care what the underlying environment is. I don't care what the news is. We are never more than anything from a fat finger trade to a bad hedge fund decision away from having dominoes fall like they've done before. Whether it's a 1 or 2 day flash crash, whether it's a more systemic thing like we had in 2008, there is leverage on top of leverage on top of leverage.
No, that's very true. And again, just to follow up on what Chris had to say there, if you want a free copy of his newsletter, email him or get in touch with me directly at Fleck at KE Report. Hey, Chris, I thank you for all you've done for our website in the last year, and I look forward to chatting with you in 2018.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
It's been said, any society is only 3 missed meals away from chaos. Those times may be near. Think about it. Our country faces multiple terrorist threats and aggressions from Russia and North Korea. Social unrest and violent marches yet again may lead to looting of stores and city shutdowns. And our crumbling infrastructure leaves our power grid vulnerable to long-term outages from a single cyber attack. When the chaos from any one of these threats arises, the government knows it can't provide during a widespread national emergency. That's why you need your own plan for self-reliance. That's where My Patriot Supply comes in. Get a 4-week survival food supply for only $99. That includes breakfast, lunches, and dinners. Order online at preparewithgcn.com. $99 for 4 weeks of survival food that tastes like homemade cooking and lasts up to 25 years from My Patriot Supply. Get your kits today at preparewithgcn.com. Free shipping is included. preparewithgcn.com.
So are you tired of being tired? Well, then it's time to get the tea. Hey, it's Lisa here to tell you about this all-natural, all-organic tea I've been drinking that has had great results for over 20 years. It's called Life Change Tea, and it's specially formulated to help detoxify and cleanse your kidneys, liver, colon, and blood all at once. The colon is one of the most ignored organs in the human body. The faster that waste is eliminated from the body, the less time that waste sits in our intestines spreading toxins to our bloodstream. This tea helps cleanse chemicals caused by outside intruders from our entire digestive system, and get this, weight loss can be a side effect. And with continued use of the tea, you can experience clear, healthier, younger looking skin, increased energy, and a happier outlook on life. So if you're tired of being tired, get the Life Change Tea at GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com, and like me, you'll be glad you did.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow. And like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you can move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
Have you checked your ECS lately? We have. We are New Pharma, scientists who specialize in human functions controlled by the endocannabinoid system, or ECS. Let me simplify. Your ECS is involved in physiological processes like appetite, pain sensation, mood, memory, and immune systems. New Pharma's patent-pending science is the big difference in our natural solutions, formulated for your well-being. For example, our foundation product provides targeted nutrition to support a healthy endocannabinoid system, which is directly responsible for managing and controlling inflammation. This product contains turmeric, which is known as one of the best anti-inflammatories on the planet. Our allergies product contains sage, which is a very effective decongestant. See all of our amazing capsules, essential oils, and ECS herbal teas at GNUPHARMA.com. New Pharma, your path to wellness begins here.
Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Welcome back. Continuing on with the first hour here on the KE Report. In this segment, I am joined by a good friend of the show, John Kaiser. He is the founder and editor of Kaiser Research. I visit John's site, again, on a regular basis to get a feeling for what some of the companies are doing in the junior space and a broad look at the junior space. And John, that's what we're going to talk about first here is tax loss selling. A number of stocks had been getting hit in the late part of November, early part of December. But just last week, we started to see a turn in some of the stocks, a couple with higher volume and, again, a stock price that seemed to have bottomed. John, let's just get your general comment on tax loss selling now that it is over, we can say, for this year.
Well, I want to point out an additional trend that has been hurting the resource juniors. And if any of our listeners go to my website, kaiserresearch.com, on the homepage, click on the Junior Resource Crisis Center. And at the top, you'll see a graphic which shows resource sector value traded and also the average traded price along with non-resource stuff. And what we're seeing, what we've seen in the last quarter, is a significant divergence where the average value traded of resource stocks has gone down, while that of non-resource stocks on the venture exchange has rocketed in the other direction. And for people like me who have their head buried only in resource juniors, I've been a bit puzzled until I woke up and realized that all these other things like blockchain and cryptocurrency and cannabis and all these other things have become the hot new stocks to chase after where people are gambling. So we have seen two pressures. The tax loss selling from resource juniors who have done pretty poorly in general since about April of this year, but also redeployment selling where it isn't just selling your resource stock to crystallize a capital gain and then you buy another different one. It's leaving the space, heading into these other bubble stocks where there are no fundamentals to limit the upside. Whereas with metal projects, it's always the size of your project deposit and the price of metal, which defines your upside limit.
So, John, I'm going to post a link to your Junior Resource Sector Crisis Center because I do want everybody to look at this first chart that you have up here, which, again, we saw that dating back to 2009 and even before that, but that's just as far as this chart goes, to almost this perfect correlation between the resource sector and the non-resource TSX traded share price. They moved in very much similar directions, but 2017 has seen a difference here, especially in the last couple months, where I really do think it drives home the fact that a lot of money is exiting the junior sector, going into these other, again, kind of hot flavor of the month or flavor of the year sectors. And that's driving this exchange higher, or at least leveling it, when usually it'd be pulling back quite a bit with the resource sector turning down. Do you see this as maybe a short-term anomaly, or is this the new normal? Is the resource sector dying on the venture exchange?
Well, the scary comparison is late 1999, where we were in like the third bear market year after the BREX disaster. And dot-com stuff was taking off. And it's the same sort of thing where companies like add the word dot-com to their name and claim they're investigating some dot-com thing. Now they're investigating some blockchain platform and all that. And boom, away we go. However, back then we had the context that gold itself was in a bear market. America was still reigning supreme. It had won the Cold War. It had this wonderful technology. Innovation. It was on top of the world. There was even intellectuals saying it was the end of history. We had this new democratic order. It's going to take care of everything. And we had the UK selling its 60 tons of gold every month, announcing it in advance so they could get the lowest possible price possible. So we had this weighing on the market. And it wasn't really until 9/11 in 2001 that things began to turn a bit. So back then, even though the bubble peaked in March of 2000, the resource sector stayed in a very poor shape. This time I think is different. This blockchain, Bitcoin stuff, I think is going so crazy now, has so little obvious linkage to the real world economy, unlike the internet revolution back then in 1999, 2000. I think this will collapse. And the regulators, the governments, all have reason to intervene and stop this before it starts having ripple effects through the rest of the economy. At the same time, we have a good argument, geopolitical argument, for seeing a higher gold price. And so I think it may be a soggy first quarter, maybe even a soggy first half of next year for the resource juniors, but the larger macroeconomic and geopolitical climate favors stronger metal prices, with the juniors and the majors turning around and tracking this after this little bubble mania blows up.
So one thing we should consider too, John, is even with the discrepancy we're seeing in that chart that you have and the general, well, move from a lot of these flavor of the month traders into some of these other hot sectors, the overall junior mining sector, if you judge it by GDXJ, or even if you judge it by the gold price, it hasn't been collapsing this year. Yes, it was in a downtrend, but it's starting to bounce. But we're still a little ways away from the lows we put in almost 2 years ago now. That has to be encouraging on some sense, doesn't it?
Yes, and if our listeners scroll way down to the chart that's called TSX Venture Resource Sector Financing Activity, you'll see that in 2016 and 2017, we have done like three times the financing activity in resource juniors, TSX Venture Resource Juniors, than happened in 2013 through 2015. And quite importantly, a much bigger portion has gone towards discovery exploration plays, the earlier stage ones, and not so much the feasibility demonstration plays. Now, what we haven't seen is substantial price appreciation in the past year. 2016 was very good once things turned around at the end of January 2016. But almost counterintuitively, when Trump got elected, it's actually had a dampening effect on this whole space. But a lot more money has been raised than in the prior 4 years, and it has gone into a fairly small segment of the company. There's still hundreds and hundreds of these little lifestyle companies that owe $1.5 billion and have no hope of doing anything productive. But I would say the system is much healthier than it was in that period from 2012 through 2015.
Okay, which I would agree with. The sector is much healthier, but again, it's being ignored. Do you think that if we saw a big pullback in, well, any of these hot sectors, again, blockchain, Bitcoin, do you think that would immediately have a good impact on gold, or do you think that could be something almost like, let's say, the dot-com crash, where it pulls everything down with it?
I don't think the blockchain stuff, even if you take all the Bitcoin, it's what, worth $300 billion, and much of that is just expanded paper value, and it has no real way of getting back into the real economy fairly easily. If this all evaporates, no really big deal. What we need in the junior sector is what I thought was happening with Novo Resources and the Pilbara WITS 2.0 story, where something like, even if it were equivalent to WITS 1.0 in South Africa, and of course better, even better, something nobody ever imagined could still happen, that something of enormous scale and value in the gold sector could be found by juniors.
Hey, I'm with you, John. We need some positive stories and maybe some other drivers, just because this sector is so, well, unloved right now. But you're not alone in thinking that maybe the second half of next year might be more positive for the stock. John, thanks for taking some time this weekend, and hey, I hope you have a great new year.
You're welcome, Corey, and happy new year to you and our audiences.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
The answer to being in control of your own healthcare is freedom from insurance. Become part of a group of self-pay patients that come together to share in each other's medical expenses. Individual share amounts begin at $107 a month and $347 for families. Choose from three health sharing programs. Holistic treatments may be eligible for sharing. See guidelines. Discount programs available for dental, vision, and pharmacy. Go to LibertyOnCall.org. That's LibertyOnCall.org.
Warning, if you're drowning in debt you can't afford, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to pay it all back, because you don't. What the credit card companies don't want you to know is that there's actually a way to get debt-free without paying off your entire debt or going bankrupt. If you have $5,000 or more in credit card debt, you now have the right to let us settle that debt for a fraction of what you owe. For free information, call Credit Associates now. 1-800-959-5759. We'll even show you how much money you could save. If you can't afford to pay off all your debt, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to. Call Credit Associates now for free information on how to get debt-free faster than you ever thought possible without debt consolidation or bankruptcy. We depend on your success and offer a guarantee, so there's no risk. For free information, call now. 1-800-959-5759. That's 1-800-959-5759. 1-800-959-5759.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Welcome back. Continuing to listen to the weekend edition of the KE Report. In this segment, we're going to talk a little bit about cryptocurrencies, more specifically Bitcoin. I am chatting with Jimmy Song. He is a Bitcoin developer. Jimmy's been joining me for about the last month for daily editorials on our show to provide almost a different aspect, almost an insider's view of Bitcoin and the cryptocurrencies. And that's why I wanted to have him on the weekend show, just because he really has provided me, and I know our other audience members who have been listening in, with some very interesting comments, helping us understand exactly what is going on in this sector. And Jimmy, one thing that I think really sticks out in everybody's mind is how volatile Bitcoin and other cryptocurrencies are, even now that we have the futures contracts trading, two of them. We're still seeing big volatility in Bitcoin. How does this play into, I think, portfolio management and just overall psychology of investors in your eyes?
So first of all, the volatility we're seeing now is nothing compared to 2013 or 2011. We had something like a 95% drop back in 2011. We had one drop of 80% in 2013 and then another slower drop of about 80% in 2013, 2014. So, 25%, 33%, something like that, that's not really that big in the grand scheme of things, especially in Bitcoin, but there are a lot of new people into this space and they see, a daily fluctuation of 10% and they think this is really, really volatile. Historically, it's actually gotten a lot less volatile, believe it or not. As far as putting it into a portfolio allocation, one of the interesting things about Bitcoin, if you've studied it at all, is that doesn't really correlate to any other asset. You would think, maybe it correlates to gold or treasuries or something like that, but it turns out to not be correlated to anything. And that can be used to your advantage when you're managing your portfolio, because if you have a portfolio that has a diverse array of things, when you add an anti-correlated asset, that sort of reduces the volatility of the overall portfolio because it's so uncorrelated to everything else. So if you want sort of like a, less volatile portfolio, it's the wise thing to do is to actually add this very volatile thing because it just sort of evens out all of the volatility of everything else. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does make sense. And Jimmy, I think one other thing that we need to consider here is who's investing in Bitcoin. And that's why I think some of the gold bugs are saying, well, it's not distracting from gold. And yes, maybe we should see more correlation between gold and Bitcoin. But the argument's also been made recently that when Bitcoin sells off, gold actually does better. Again, these are all such new correlations. And I feel like people are almost more grasping for things to commentate on. But one thing that is for sure is the younger generation is putting money into Bitcoins. They're not putting money into some of the more long-term safe haven plays such as gold. That's more for older investors. And this is a very important discrepancy, I think. Are you seeing the same thing on your end?
Yeah, absolutely. And I see high school students that are, you know, asking their parents about investing in Bitcoin. That's like their first investment that they want to make. They don't care about stocks. They don't care about, you know, Pokemon cards or whatever. They want to invest in Bitcoin, in large part because they kind of get it, right? Like younger investors, especially those under 25, they've been playing video games all their lives. They grew up with the internet. So for them, utilizing something like Bitcoin, it makes perfect sense. They know, you know, World of Warcraft gold is valuable because it's scarce, or a special item in some game is, worth something because it's scarce. And they're used to sort of digital scarcity and trading things that, sort of exist virtually. Older investors, on the other hand, they like the more physical things like gold or stocks or something like that, where you can sort of hold it. Although even with stocks, that's not really the case anymore. And they're not used to it, and they don't think of assets in that way. Can you really have something that's digital and scarce? And for them, it's kind of a scary new territory, and it takes them longer to get used to. Whereas younger people, they already know, and they're used to it. I mean, many of them may trade like game items on various websites. There's something called skins for a lot of video games that, you know, trade for $40,000 or something. And they know that these things go up in value at times. So, for younger people, it makes sense. For older people, it doesn't. That's probably the correlation you're seeing there.
Now, this is interesting because one argument for Bitcoin is that it's outside of the so-called system. It can't be regulated, or at least right now, governments are having trouble regulating it. That's not really playing into a lot of the younger people's eyes, is it?
It might be, it might not be. I would say that from a mental standpoint, it's easier for them to grasp because they sort of have models with video games and things like that, and apps and things, stickers, whatever. They're used to thinking that way. As far as sort of being outside the system, that's sort of an orthogonal dimension, I think. For a lot of people, that does tend to play into it. Especially if you lean libertarian, this is certainly a major issue for you, and that may be why you get into Bitcoin in the first place. But even, you know, like there, I think you can make like a 2x2 graph of people that are young, people that are old, people that are libertarian, people that are not, and, you know, sort of come up with a matrix of people that are most likely. And, you know, you look at the demographics of people that own Bitcoin, tends to be the younger men that lean libertarian that tend to own it. So it makes sense that, those people get it for those reasons.
Now, Jimmy, when it comes to judging the demand for Bitcoins and cryptocurrencies in general, yes, we can look at the market cap and look at the charts and see just how skyrocketing they have gone this year. But is there anything behind the scenes as a Bitcoin developer that you look at that helps you judge maybe future demand or even current demand outside of just looking at the price?
Yeah, sure. So there's definitely the transaction volume, and you can see that fees are going up on the Bitcoin network, largely due to the demand. So there's tremendous demand in that way. A lot of the exchanges have a lot of new signups, and you can look at those statistics as well. I think Zappo and Coinbase at one point had 100,000 new users per day. So that's a tremendous amount of demand. This is only way for a lot of people to get their hands on Bitcoin is through these exchanges. Local Bitcoin's volume continues to go up. search trends on Google for Bitcoin. I think it exceeded gold at one point this past month. So, you know, lots of metrics like that. There are also various surveys about Bitcoin awareness, how many people are aware of it, how many people own it, and things like that. And all of those are trending upward and to the right. So it's all good news for Bitcoin, at least right now.
Well, all I can say is even at the multiple Christmas events that I go to with different sides of my family, Bitcoin was brought up a number of times, and that's just another way to show just how many people are getting interested and feeling like they're missing out. But one comment that was made is how long sometimes transactions can take. And again, that whole energy issue, you and I have talked about that before, but in terms of transaction length for processing transactions, what are your comments when you hear naysayers use that as a negative?
Yeah, I mean, to some degree, they're right in the sense that it does take a long time. But, you know, like, you can't get into a popular restaurant, you know, very easily. You know, you usually have to make a reservation a long time in advance, or you have to wait a few hours. Bitcoin is sort of like that right now. Now, there are solutions to this problem. But more or less, I think people use it as a store of value and not a medium of exchange. If you do buy something with Bitcoin, you end up regretting it later because the price keeps going up. So, you know, if you buy something for some, you know, $100 worth of Bitcoin right now, in a couple of years, you might be looking at something like $10,000 worth of Bitcoin that you spent on whatever it was. So, you know, that tends not to work out very well, and people that have been in Bitcoin for a long time stopped transacting with it in that way a while ago for that reason. That said, you know, going forward, there are other solutions like Lightning Network, drive chains, and things of that nature, which should relieve some of this fee pressure.
Okay. Hey, Jimmy. Always great chatting with you again. I thank you for taking some time on a weekly basis and sharing your updates on Bitcoin and the general cryptocurrency network. Having a Bitcoin developer that shares his opinions is very helpful, at least to me, I know. So, Jimmy, enjoy the rest of, well, I guess this year. It's pretty much over. And in 2018, we'll be chatting, and I'm signing off for the first hour here. But, again, I hope everybody has a very happy, safe new year, and we'll be back with you all in 2018.
For our upcoming appearance schedule, visit kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back in just a moment.
Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-765-9681 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-765-9681. Again, that's 800-765-9681.
Most people think life insurance pays after you're dead. That's true. But did you know you can have tax-free access to your life insurance while you're still alive? You can use the life benefits of your life insurance to grow your money with certainty and guarantees. No stock market risk, no tax risk, and no penalties. Call Life Benefits if you'd like a free book about how this can be done. Call 702-660-7000. That's 702-660-7000.
Fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. I'm talking thick, meaty, center-cut, presidential bacon. Savory and delicious. I buy some, I use some, I store some. Awesome. No refrigeration needed with a 10-year shelf life. NASA pack technology. Bacon. Fully cooked, fully hydrated, ready-to-eat right from the pack bacon. Or warm and serve. Life-saving, ready-to-eat bacon. 10-year shelf life bacon. Ships free at fullycookedbacon.com. Fullycookedbacon.com.